The scripture reading before the lesson this morning will be taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verses 15, 16, and 17. Genesis chapter 2, verses 15, 16, and 17. We'll be reading from the New King James Version. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that thou or you eat of it, you shall surely die."
We're grateful for the day that the Lord has blessed us to be here. I want to let you know that the very fact that we're here, I want to put a smile on our face, that the Lord has blessed us and allowed us to come and to worship him in spirit and in truth. As I was thinking about our lesson for today, I couldn't help but to thank the Lord for the opportunity to study. And as we have been talking about the fundamentals of the faith, one thing that I have learned and grown since looking at some of these particular lessons, it has caused me to really look at my life closer. And the more that I considered the God of heaven and considered even my own personal life and the fundamentals of the faith, I couldn't help but to understand and to know that there is a God that definitely loves us and wants us to be in his presence. When we think about the fundamentals of the faith, we have to ask ourselves a question. We have to ask ourselves, how did humanity get to the point where we are today? You know, as I was considering the gospel message, and we think about going out seeking and saving the lost, I couldn't help but to think about, how did humanity get here? How did we get to a point where man had involved himself in sin? Caused me to think about passages like 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 and following, where the Bible demonstrates that in the last days, perilous times will come. And when you think of the idea of perilous times, we're talking about stressful times, dangerous times, times where men are doing exactly what they want to do instead of following the Lord. As I was considering that and considering why we go out and teach and preach, we do that because we want men and women to understand that they are accountable to Almighty God. And they're still accountable to Almighty God. And so we ask ourselves another question. Did God create man good? We know that God created man good. If you will, turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. And hope, pray, and trust that we have a little bit of time to develop these thoughts, because as we are considering the fundamentals of the faith, friends, I truly believe that these are fundamentals and that we need to be considering that when God created everything, when he got to mankind, he said it was very good. We see that in Genesis chapter 1. And verse number 4, we also see that in Genesis chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. And I underlined in my Bible, you see, it was good, verse 4. He saw that it was good, verse number 10. He saw that it was good, verse number 13. He saw that it was good, verse number 18. He saw that it was good, verse number 21. He saw that it was good, verse number 25. When we consider verse number 31, something changed. After man was created, he said, it was very good. Everybody that has ever come into this world began very good. Again, I learned so much about myself with this lesson. I appreciate when the elders talked about the fundamentals of the faith and left it to me in the direction that we needed to go in. But I'm so thankful that God started every man off right. Every man has the ability and the capacity to be good, to be upright, to be moral. However, we understand that man did not end that way. I want us to consider, when we think about Adam and Eve, Adam and Eve unfortunately corrupted themselves. We know that they corrupted themselves because when God created man, he created man upright. Ecclesiastes 7:29. But man has sought out many inventions. We know that they corrupted themselves because God breathed life into man. What do we mean by that? That he breathed morality into man. He breathed will into man. He breathed spirit into man. He breathed life into man. When we stop and we consider that, we want to be thinking about that because, unfortunately, when we think about them corrupting themselves, that's contrary to some religions today. Some religions today teach that babies are born in sin. For this reason, baptism or sprinkling of babies is administered. Babies are being baptized because of the original sin of Adam. Friends, this is a fundamental truth that has to be taught and debunked. Why? Because when we think about God creating man and we think about what was passed down, friends, sin was not passed down to man. Watch this. Death was. When Adam sinned, according to Romans 5 and verse number 12, he brought death into the world. He brought sin into the world, but death passed down to all mankind. I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Genesis chapter 4. In Genesis chapter 4, and this is probably one of my favorite points, and I'm coming to learn that this is a fundamental point, even though there's some depth to it. But when we think about Psalm 51, and you remember when David said, in my mother's womb, I was conceived in sin. When I think about that, that whatever we conclude there, it cannot contradict Genesis chapter 4, 25 and 26. When we think about Adam, and Adam had a son, Cain, had another son, Abel. Cain killed Abel. The next thing you know, Adam knew his wife again, had a son. Listen to this point, Seth. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 25 and 26, notice what your Bible communicates to you. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son, named him Seth. For God has appointed another seed for me instead of Abel, whom Cain killed. And as for Seth, to him also a son was born, and he called his name Enoch. Then men began to call on the name of the Lord. Friends, if you take notice of that, Seth is the reason why men began to call on the name of the Lord. Why? Because he himself had a son by the name of Enosh. And here you see that righteous lineage continuing to go forth from God himself. If at any time sin was passed down, it should have been passed down to Seth. and then to Enosh, and then later on to Enoch, and then Methuselah, and then Lamech, and then Noah. But it wasn't. Death was passed down. How do we know that? Well, we'll talk about that here in a few seconds. But I want you to take those passages down of Deuteronomy 24:16, Ezekiel 18:20. Why is that? Because under the time in which God was going to be taking the children of Israel into the promised land, God was telling Moses to tell the children of Israel that sin was not passed down from the fathers to the sons. Under the time of the prophets, here in the book of Ezekiel, we know that the son would not take on the sin of the father. Friends, why is that important? Because when we're going out talking to people about the saving message of Jesus Christ, listen, it doesn't matter what someone's ancestors have done. God is dealing with that individual. And because of that, the gospel is going to relate to the individual themselves, regardless of where they came from. Friends, that's a magnificent point that the Bible makes, and that God is teaching us that every man stands on their own merit. It also demonstrates to us that we were not born in sin, neither born sinners. But there are so many religions today that teach that men are born in sin, which demonstrates that we cannot inherit sin. If anything, what was passed down was death. If anything, what was passed down was the ability to die. Look at Genesis chapter 5. In Genesis chapter 5, and when we're considering the gospel message of Jesus Christ, I believe that this point needs to be made. Why? Because man who is born of a woman will die. It's not if, it's when. You go to cemeteries and you'll see headstones as young as infants to as old as whatever, which demonstrates to us that it is true. Sin was not passed down. Why? Because sin is transgression of God's law. All unrighteousness is sin. But death has been passed down from the time that Adam sinned against God. He separated himself from God. And when we stop and think about that, that ought to cause us to cringe. In Genesis chapter 5, here we see something very interesting. In verse number 5, we see that Adam lived to be 930 years old. And guess what? He died. In verse number 8, Seth, 912 years, he died. Methuselah, in verse 27, 969 years. And guess what, friends? He died. That ought to cause us to think that everybody that is born is going to eventually one day die. But I want us to consider the primary point. When we think about mankind dying, I want us to talk about spiritual death, because we understand that in Genesis 2, in verse number 17, God told Adam, "The day you eat of that tree, you will surely die." I was privileged to have a Bible study, and we were talking about this point. And the more that I've considered this point this week, the more I appreciate Bible study, and I hope that you do too. Friends, when we're talking to people in the world, when we're talking to one another, we have to realize and teach that when one does that which is contrary to the will of God, they die. In Genesis 3, in verse number 16, we find something very interesting and worthy of our consideration. worthy of our consideration. Go ahead and write that down. But go to Genesis 2, verse number 17, and then we'll go to Genesis 3, verse 6 and 7. When we think about this, we understand that man dies. We understand that man dies. But we also know that sin was passed down to man. But in Genesis chapter 2, in verse number 17, for some reason, that didn't come out right. There it is. Sorry about that. Look at Genesis 2, verse 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. When we think about this, look at Genesis 3, and verse 6 and 7, we find that Eve actually partook of the fruit. When she partook of this fruit, this is some things that I began to learn, and I was thinking about this. When she partook of that fruit, what do you think went on in her mind? Here, she partakes of that fruit, she's still alive. Do you think she possibly missed the concept of what death was or what life was? We understand that sin entered into the world through Adam, but we also know that when we think about Eve, Eve was deceived, Eve was tricked. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 3, 1 Timothy 2 and verse number 14. But think about this. When Eve was deceived, the idea in the Greek of deceive, that she was bringing forth arguments, but the serpent turned her away from God. This is what I learned, even about myself. Maybe you might learn something about you. That you could have your mind focus on doing the will of God, but then find yourself, according to your own lust, walking away through argumentation. Why is that an important point? Because when you think of our responsibility as Christians, as we're going out seeking and saving the lost, turn your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let me show you something. And it caused me to have, and I'm pondering this, it caused me to have a little bit more compassion, if I can say it that way, on Eve. Just maybe because I saw it in myself. But in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 24 through 26, a servant of the Lord must not strive or quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance. Repentance, friends, is a change of mind. A change of mind which leads to a change of life in view of eternal life. So that they may know the truth. Now watch this. And that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. You think of the difficulties at times, friends, listen to this, of evangelism, of untying some of the knots in the minds of people who have been taken captive by the serpent, by Satan, by the devil to do his will. No wonder it's difficult for some people to come out of adulterous relationships, come out of fornication, come out of denominationalism. Because when you think of Eve, Eve was convinced, if you will, to go against the will of God. She was deceived. She even told God that the serpent deceived me, as if she put up a fight, but he caused doubt in her mind. Thus, she walked away from God. And we have the responsibility of using the truth to help people begin to doubt their lifestyle and actually turn to God for a better lifestyle, a godly lifestyle, the lifestyle in which they were created for. What was that? Uprightness, morality. Friends, it begins to make more sense how she was deceived. She was beguiled. She was tricked. So the question is, why did she even give herself an opportunity to listen to the devil? Why did she give the devil a foothold? I believe we can ask ourselves the same question. Why do we even listen to that which God has not said in his word? Why do we listen to empty words, Ephesians 5 and verse 6? Why do we allow our hearts to be deceived, James 1 and verse 26? It's because of our own lust. And so the more I thought about Eve, the more I realize, sometimes I'm just like Eve. When we think about sin entering into the world, Eve was deceived. But the Bible doesn't teach us that Adam was. Adam had the law. God spoke to Adam, told him what he was supposed to be doing. Yet when he sinned, he brought death into the world. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 22. In 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul would make this particular statement by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I thought it was a very interesting point that Paul makes. In verse number 22, in the context of the last enemy being destroyed, which would be death, of course. Notice what he says. It's a very interesting point. For as in Adam, all die. Even so, in Christ, all shall be made alive. Adam brought death into the world. But when we consider that and we think about that, hold on. Adam did not die immediately. But for some, I don't know how many years later, but I know at 930 years, he died. Can you imagine contemplating in your mind, going against the will of God, but you're still alive? And it caused me to think of a passage. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 6. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 6, in the context of widows, in the context of young widows who won't live right, Paul would say this in 1 Timothy 5 and verse number 6, but she who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. What does that teach us? It teaches us that there is a reason to go out and seek and save the lost. Why? Because some people are in sin and don't know it, meaning that they have separated themselves from God, but they don't know it. They're actually thinking that what I'm doing is right. The religion I'm in is correct. My way of thinking has to be true, because notice how my life is blessed financially. But no, she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she lives. Friends, we stop and we consider that, it ought to cause us to really think. It really ought to cause us to think, I don't know what's going on with all this, and it may just be me. But let's go to the second point. Because when we think about man sinning, and Brother Dennis, I was thinking about this. I have a new appreciation right now for what God has done for mankind, Friends, it is true that the more you study, the more you grow, the more you should appreciate what God has left in His Word. Almost 50 years old this month, and I'm learning things that I thought I knew before, but God did some things for mankind, friends, He didn't have to do. He didn't have to do. So I want us to talk about man's restoration, spiritual life regained. At first point, spiritual death. But God did not leave us in that state. And so as Brother Royce was talking about the book of Hebrews chapter 10 and how God had no pleasure in the animal sacrifices, which teaches us that that was just temporary for that which really pleased Him, His Son, which tells us that God was always looking forward to saving man after man had sinned in the garden. We stop and we consider this. I want us to think about this. The gospel message of Jesus Christ has everything to do with the events that took place in the Garden of Eden. They had the perfect life. God would walk in the garden in the cool of the day. That implies fellowship. When they partook of the fruit, they found themselves to be naked. Remember when Eve was brought forth from the man and Adam woke up and he saw his wife after God had brought her to him. He said, "This is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she came forth from the man." He broke out in this happy monologue, if you will. "I'm glad to see her." And they were naked and were not ashamed. But when they partook of the fruit, they became ashamed. Can I say this? We live in a time today where people don't even blush at sin. They don't even blush at nakedness. Showing most of their bodies, don't even blush. But in the garden, they were naked. And only God was there, and they were ashamed. Wow. God says, "I'm going to fix that." They made the inappropriate measures of covering themselves, at least the good that was in them. They tried to do something good because God created them good. But God says, "That's not sufficient." And so He covered them properly. They didn't have to be ashamed after God covered them properly. It's a great lesson for us that as the people of God, we ought to be covered properly, clothing wise. Amen. We ought to be clothed properly. In the garden, man fell away from God and was cast out. Why were they cast out? Because they made a decision to go against God. They lost their lives. Hold on, I thought they were still alive. They had separated themselves from God. And sin separates man from God. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Friends, the more I thought about this, the more I was saying to myself, "Mike, you got to do a better job of getting out there, letting people know that you're separated, and God did something great by sending His Son to bring us back in fellowship with God." Adam and Eve lost their lives in the garden, and it was God's mission from that point forward to restore what was lost in the garden. What was that, Brother Brian? Life. God is a good God. He wanted to restore life. I don't understand why Acts chapter 2, verses 36 through verse number 47 has to be the miraculous when the miraculous was not lost in the garden. Friends, life was. What was God restoring? Galatians chapter 3, verses 19 through 24, life. if there would have been a law which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. Mike, what are you saying? Adam and Eve lost their lives. They lost their fellowship with God. When men sin, when women sin, they separate themselves from God. And so when they separate themselves from God, God says, I got to do something about it. And he did. And so I asked this question. And I believe we need to ask this question. In 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 25, in the context of Eli and his sons. And you remember that his sons took bribes. They were wicked men. Yet they held an influential position with the people of God. And Eli would say this, if one man sins against another, God will judge him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him? So it makes sense that when Adam sinned against God, he had no one to intercede for him, so God had to do it himself. Praise be to God, when we sin, we have someone to intercede for us. 1 Timothy 2 in verse number 5, we have Jesus Christ. This is the message that we're taking out to the world. You cannot be outside of Christ and intercede for yourself. I know of a true story, and I'm not going to say what that story is. Perhaps they might listen. But I know of a true story of a horrible, horrible event. And the individual say, well, I'm just going to ask God to forgive me. I said, you have to be in Christ in order for that to happen. You just can't ask God to forgive you. You got to obey the gospel. That's why Jesus was sent. That's why God sent his son. Who shall intercede for a man when they sin against God? God says, I'll take care of this myself. I'm going to send my son. I'm going to send the Son of God, the Son of Man. Friends, when we stop and we consider this, when Adam sinned against God, God would use the rest of the time under the old covenant patriarchal system where God spoke to the fathers and the fathers spoke to the families. Mosaic system where God spoke to Moses and Moses would speak to the children of Israel. He would spend that 4,000 years, to bring his son, demonstrating what he needed to do in order to bring the seed of woman into the world. Genesis 3:15. The seed of Abraham into the world. Genesis 12, 1, 2, and 3. The seed of David into the world. 2 Samuel 7, 12 through 14. Why are these so significant? Because the seed of the woman, Genesis 3, verse 15, God would go around the man to bring in the Son of Man. God would go around the human being in order to bring God into the world. Wow. God, you did all of that. You know what God is saying? I don't need man in order to save man. I need the woman. Why? Because the first Adam messed it up, but the second Adam got it right. Friends, for this reason, we ought to be thankful that Abraham, Genesis 12, 1, 2, and 3, was a friend of God. And no wonder Jesus would say, you are my friend if you do whatsoever I say. I usually don't do this, but I'm going to recommend that y'all go online, YouTube, and type in B.J. Clark, Church of Christ, and just begin listening. you're going to learn so much. I'm not elevating the man, but the man knows God. Trust me. That man made a point that we just made. I can't take the credit. Friends, do we understand that we are friends of God when we abide in His truth, when we do His will? Just, it makes more sense now that those who die faithful to God, regardless of any dispensation, any time period that they lived under, that they go to Abraham's bosom. Why? Because Abraham was a friend of God, is a friend of God, and those who keep the commandments of God, they're friends of God too, so they're going to end up where friends are. Wow. And then David. Why? Because he's royalty. He's king. Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 through 17. Jesus is King of kings and Lord of lords. No wonder when we follow Jesus Christ. We're royalty. 1 Peter chapter 2, we're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. God would take care of man's sin problem himself. The God of heaven is good to us. Remember this point right here, friends, on your screen. All men died in Adam, but look at the second part. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. God will take care of the sin problem. Adam could not take care of his sin problem. He had separated himself from God. Now God is on the move and he's chasing mankind, trying to track mankind down in order to save man from himself. And so, God, what are you doing? I'm trying to save man from my wrath. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to have a salvation system that he can come back to me even though he violated me. And you know how man is. When you violate man, some men will kill you. God says, no, 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 no. You separated yourself from me. Now, I'm going to run after you. I'm going to pursue you. I'm going to chase you in order for you to come back to me. And that's why we go out with the gospel message. We're actually chasing sinners. We're telling those who have sinned against God, those who are unrighteous, those who have turned their back on God, we're running after them saying, come home, come back to God. Why? He's going to send his son one day and he's going to take care of this place. But look at 1 Corinthians 15, verses 46 through 49. Wow. There's so much to learn. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural. And afterwards, the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. Watch this. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, that's physical, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man, that's spiritual. God, what are you teaching us? The first man, Adam, he messed it up. The second Adam, he got it right. And guess who we're following? We're following the second Adam. And so he would send Jesus. Friends, the events that took place in the garden, God says, I'll fix it. I'll take care of this myself. And so Adam brought death to all men. Jesus came to do what? To destroy the works of the devil. To be victorious over the devil. Look at Hebrews chapter 2. As we come to a close, notice. Friends, we have a job to do. Our first job is to believe it ourselves. We just have to believe that when we sin against God, we are separating ourselves. Sometimes I believe we lie to ourselves that we can live against God's will and still have fellowship, still bow our knees in prayer as if my sinful lifestyle and God, the spiritual, is going to coexist. They can't coexist. Light and darkness can't coexist. And so why was Jesus sent? The Hebrews writer says this in verse number 14 and 15. In as much then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise share in the same, that through death, that's the cross, he might destroy him, talking about the devil, who had the power of death, that is the devil, and to release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Look at 1 John 3 and verse 8, and then we'll make comments after we put these together. In 1 John 3 and verse number 8, John, our brother, has this to say. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was revealed, was manifested, was sent, if you will, in order that he might destroy the works of the devil. Friends, did you get that? Why was Jesus sent? He was sent because God says, I got to take care of this myself. And when Jesus came into the world, he took care of sin. How do we know? Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 17, Brian used this on Wednesday. He said, I did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. Jesus committed himself to him that judges righteously. He neither sinned, neither was sin found in his mouth. Jesus was a sinless man. The first Adam sinned against God. The second Adam comes into this world and he does everything that God says to the T. And so, God, what are you expecting out of us? I'm expecting obedience. So, God, what happens when I mess up? I'm still expecting obedience. I need you to acknowledge it. I need you to confess it. I need you to repent of it. And I need you to be spiritual and walk away from it. Friends, do you know that's being perfect? So Matthew 5, verse 48 is true. Be ye perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. Which means, Brother Royce, I can make mistakes and get it right with God and still be perfect. Why? Because I'm in Christ. I'm covered by the blood of Christ. And so what Adam messed up, God says, I'll make it right by sending Jesus. And so Jesus comes, he makes it right. And if I follow Jesus, friends, I'm going to end up right where he is. I go to prepare a place for you. That's heaven. So God takes care of man's sin problem. Friends, I believe that we've laid the foundational work. So now when we begin talking about the one Lord, one faith, one baptism, when we begin talking about the one church, when we begin talking about maturing and moral living, when we begin talking about those things, friends, we can say, you know what? Adam messed up, but God made it right. I messed up, and God can make it right. How? By allowing me to submit to him. Friends, I don't know about you, but I am so glad that we all serve a God that actually wants us to be with him. And that's fundamental. If you need special prayer, let us pray for you. When I think about the fundamentals of God, and this is just the tip of the iceberg, we could talk about so many things. But if we don't have in our mind where man messed up and God made it right, and we think it's because of me that I got this right. Friends, we can't get it right unless we have the Word of God that teaches us how to get right. And God has given us his Word. I just have one question. Do you believe it? Believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. Believe that. Be willing to repent of your sins if you're not a Christian. Be willing to confess Christ before this august audience. Be willing to be baptized in water. Why? Because the one who helped mankind come back to himself is the one who commanded baptism in order to be saved. And so Jesus, by inspiration, being God himself, would say, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Go into all the world, preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Friends, Jesus said that. Maybe a child of God and, well, you've been living in sin. You know, sometimes we find ourselves living in sin. Sometimes we find ourselves just like Eve, being deceived, listening to snake talk. We got to be careful with snake talk. Brethren, be careful with the snake talks of other women. Sisters, be careful with the snake talk of men who don't want anything good for you. Young people, be careful with the snake talk of pornography. Be careful with the snake talk of covetousness. Be careful. Don't be allured away from God. Maybe you need special prayer. Let us do that for you as we stand and as we sing our Savior's invitation.